Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Today I got Wes Shanks in the house to talk about Upperman baseball and all that is Wes Shanks. Got a good family history there to talk about. Excited to dive into that. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. I've been wanting, you've been on my list for a while. I've kind of hit and miss a little bit, and I finally pegged you in and appreciate you joining such late notice. But I'm going to talk a little bit about growing up and what was it like to grow up in Baxter?
Growing up in Baxter, our family around West Putnam is what I call it. So we're in West Putnam in the Baxter Buffalo Valley area. Grandma and granddad had a farm. We grew up kind of around the farm doing farm work. Agriculture was a big part of our life. And then my family, of course, my grandfather was a superintendent for years. He was a educator, and I've heard stories from people's grandparents about him. I've heard stories from my grandmother and her being the bookkeeper at Cookeville High School. And then that leads into my dad was a baseball coach. My mom was a educator for 30 plus years. And so I tell people all the time, I had a previous profession with 10 years when I got out of college, and I couldn't get away from the family business, which is education.
Well, I think you could do a lot worse, Wes, and you kind of presented the onion. We're going to peel the onion a little bit. I hear that in education terms all the time. We got to peel the onion. So we're going to peel the onion, you know, of your growth and growing up. And as you stated, Walter Warren was a superintendent in Putnam County for a long period of time. In my opinion, did a fantastic job going through some growth years for Putnam County and leading their educational system on the path that it needed to be led on at that time. And then followed up by your dad, you know, Wayne, who we had on the show. And you're talking about a state champion coach in an area and in a town that prides itself on tradition. The baseball program there really set itself apart at the time that your dad was coaching in through there. How important was that to you to have that background, that past, and even still have your dad here today as someone you can still talk to about everything that you do?
Well, it's like you said, the background, the history of it is what I remember is being on the dirt pile while he was at the ball games. You know, that mom's in the stands, me and my two sisters, we were getting dinner at the ball game while dad was at the ballpark coaching. And I have so many people come up to me saying, hey, I remember you were this big, and that we grew up there. We spent a lot of time there. Dad spent a lot of time there. Our family spent a lot of time there at the ball field. So being around the ball field, the gymnasium of Upperman High School was critical to, I think, where I am today. Being around my father and mother, both being at Cookeville High School a stint as well, just being around that gymnasium, that ball field, and other educators. You make connections with the educators. You make connections with the educators' sibling or kids as well. So I've got lifelong friends that were also children of teachers that we hung out all the time. And so being in and around the ball field of Baxter specifically was very a very critical reason why I think I'm at Upperman High School right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's unique in that your dad coached down there for a long period of time. He played at Cookeville, was a very good athlete at Cookeville High School. His job was at Upperman and coached there for a while, became the principal. Your mom was teaching at Cookeville High School for a long period of time. Had her as a teacher in the junior high, very, very good teacher. Got to teach with her later on at Cookeville High School in her department. So knew both of them very well, but your dad transitions away from Upperman High School and takes the job at Cookeville High School. That gave you a whole new opportunity to learn and get to know a lot more folks in the Cookeville area, and you already knew everybody in the Baxter area. So that just gave you the opportunity to get to know more people.
And to add on to that, we grew up just, you know, in between the Cookeville and Baxter area, and I actually went to elementary schools. Gosh, I tell this story all the time. I went to Parkview for a transitional one, a kindergarten transitional one. I went to Capshaw. At that time, they just started Prescott Central, and then I went to Avery Trace. Dad was a principal at the time at Upperman. I went from Cookeville to Upperman Junior High, then Upperman High School. They built, at that time, the brand new Upperman High School, which is where we teach now. My sophomore junior year, he transitions to Cookeville High School as a principal, asks me if I would like to go with him. And at that time, I'm a 16-year-old boy already in sports. I said, no, you do your thing. I'm going to stay. The funny story about that is my middle sister, Andrea, she was a senior at Cookeville High School, And I think it put a damper on her, not necessarily her popularity, but she had to see her father at school that she wasn't used to. Whereas
every day.
Where I was, you know, more used to it than she was. So that's a funny story. But so I grew up in the Cookeville area, made several Cookeville friends, Baxter friends as well. You know, you get in that athletic community with ball games and travel teams. You make friends with everybody. You just realize later on which school they go to. And then ended up staying at Upperman High School and had a what I enjoyment of high school athletics. And again, I couldn't stay away.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we're talking to Wes Shanks, head baseball coach at Upperman High School today. And Wes, I'd get in trouble. I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about your sisters, because I don't want to hear. I mean, they were great athletes in their own right.
Oh, it's it definitely runs in the family. I've got my oldest sister now, Tiffany Davidson, and they've got three kids of their own. And that was something special for me, having an older sister. I can remember now going off to college after I graduated Upperman High School. I played a year of college baseball at Hiawassee College, and then went up to University of Tennessee, Knoxville, which actually my sister Andrea, she was there as a senior at that time too. So we had a stint of a year or two at the collegiate level together. But at that time, my sister was 6 years older, just had kids. And I'm a 20-year-old with a brand new nephew. And that gave me reasons to come back because I wanted to be a part of that family aspect. And now for the last, you know, 10, 12 years, going on Saturdays before I had kids, watching them was fun. And then my other sister, Andrea, she's only 2 years older than me. And so we clashed a little bit when we were growing up, both athletic, and we just were very competitive. And I can remember dad laughs about it, but mom would get so frustrated because she was an only child, and she didn't understand that when you had three siblings, there was going to be fights. Mm-hmm. And so it took a while for her to adapt for our, I guess, behaviors and competitiveness of whatever it was. But she was a very good athlete, played collegiate volleyball at Samford in Birmingham.
Beautiful school.
And absolutely. And so, and she was a great player at in basketball at Cookeville High School as well. Tiffany was a volleyball player. They both did gymnastics. The one thing that sticks out that I kind of don't let her live it up too much is my middle sister, Andrea, is 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
I'm 5'10". So I've got, when I stepped on the basketball floor with Coach McWilliams in, I believe, eighth grade, ninth grade, he kind of looked at me and saw my sister and said, "Well, what happened to you?" Sorry, Coach, it's genetics. I guess I got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yeah, what you got.
That's right.
Yeah, you can't outrun genetics, man, no doubt. A very athletic family, a lot of success interwoven in there, but also what's important, and I know it's important because I know your mom, the academic side of things was also very important to your family, especially your mom.
Oh, absolutely. When you're an athletic family or your parents are coaches, some people don't forget my mother was a coach at tennis, track, and other sports at Cookeville High School, while dad was in administration and doing other coaching. So it wasn't just dad that was the coach. He's the one that has the state titles, 91, 93, and the years of success. Mom was right there doing the same. And so we had two coaches in the household, which you're a student athlete. Student comes first. And so if we were going to be just as active as we wanted to be, and I'm finding that out now with an 8-year-old and 6-year-old, we've got gymnastics, t-ball, football, soccer, you name it. And it can get too much. But if we wanted to be that active, you had to get your scholastics in order first. And so that was always a priority for mom and dad, for us specifically.
I also want to just mention, I don't want to forget this, your grandma, you know, up until, and she probably still doing it, but up until recently, you know, she played on a basketball team that was national champions, you know, and Wayne actually coached them a couple of years, which amazed me. He told me, I didn't even know that. He told me that when he was on the show, and man, kudos to them for just staying out there, and I hear they're pretty dang good, too.
So she's the most famous Shanks around. it gets funny at Christmas time and Thanksgiving that, you know, she shows up, and she brings all the food, and we just start, you know, telling stories, and then it comes out that, hey, we're going to, you know, did you see this post on Instagram? Did you see this on Facebook? And she has no idea what that is, and so we kind of joke that we're going to put you on Facebook, and she thinks she doesn't want anything to do with the internet. But she is didn't start until probably in her 60s, developed a group with some ladies and got into a senior league basketball and didn't play until high school. So she was 50 years of not playing and just grew to love it and had some success. And she's 88 now, and they're a two-time national champion. They play every other year. And Dad has taken on a role, go figure, you know, the ball coach. And he's taken on a role as the head coach for them and traveled with them and had some success. And it's really been important for Grandma and others, because it's kept her going along with the farm. She runs 60 head of cattle on a tract of land in Buffalo Valley, 500-plus acres, and does it with Dad's help and others. But one thing that really, she was getting to do too much, and you know, grandmothers, grandfathers, they always do too much. One thing that backed her down a little bit was basketball, because she didn't want to hurt herself for her basketball season, because, you know, priorities, right?
That probably came at a good time for Wayne, I'd say.
Absolutely. I don't know anybody that slowed down farming to ramp up basketball in the 70-year-old age in the 80s.
Well, I tell you what, I just got to applaud that. What an opportunity for Wayne to be involved with his mom, you know, in what, you know, would be her golden years right now. And for them to have that tie in, that relationship and that opportunity, what a cool thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's with Dad, too, and my mom. You know, again, you keep talking about family, and it mom and dad both make time, whatever they're doing, if it's working on the farm or if it's working around their house, or they've got some doctor visits here, and they're going to be at a ball field somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's seven grandchildren for them. And so they're going to make the ball field. The uncles and aunts, we're all at the same ball field too, if it's because our kids are the same age or if we're just wanting to share some family time on the field as well.
Incredible situation. We're here with Wes Shanks, head baseball coach at Upperman High School. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, talking with Wes Shanks, head baseball coach down at Upperman High School. Wes, Upperman High School, a lot of tradition, not only in baseball, but some of the coaches you have down there now, both the set of McWilliams, doing a great job in basketball. Dana bring home the gold ball a couple of times. Bobby doing such a great job with the men. You almost got there last year in a very tough year. Football now really moving in the right direction, no doubt. You know, a lot of tradition all the way around. And Upperman is a growing school. I think you went above 900 this year for the first time ever. So getting a lot more kids down that way, the growth in Putnam County is definitely coming that way. So, you know, everything looks bright. The future looks bright for Upperman High School. But along with that expectation, you know, comes maybe possibly for a coach, and I've been there, maybe a little anxiety along the way to make sure that you do what you need to do to create the type of program that you would want if you were playing.
Absolutely. And before I made the decision to get into education and even become the head baseball coach, that was something that was in my heart. It was, I'm an alumni, 2004, of Upperman High School, played four sports, baseball, basketball, football, golf, anything and everything. And it was, I was a junior when that school was built. I was grew up on the ball fields, like we mentioned earlier. And it's something special. You just mentioned the McWilliams, Coach Dana McWilliams. That was she played for Dad in the 80s and 90s, and babysitted me. Mm-hmm. So she tells me some stories about me when I was little, again around the ball gym somewhere. And then when I moved to Upperman as an eighth grader, Coach Bobby McWilliams came from Gainesboro, Jackson County, and he was I was his first, you know, I guess, group come through. And he was very, exponential in my growth, and not only a ball player, but as an athlete and a student as well. And so we had a parents meeting the other day with baseball, trying to get the, you know, the fall and the spring season set up. And I compare what our baseball program is now to, or at least I hold it to a standard of, I want it to be like B's basketball, Upperman B's basketball, because they have set the standard. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Coach Bobby as well. We were able to get to the state tournament when I was in high school. There was years after where they've had so much success, district, region, sub-state. And like you said, last year, COVID had just thrown a blender in our today's society, especially with sports in the last year or two. And then, of course, the two state titles with Coach Dana. But I can remember the 99 team that, you know, was the silver ball and 01 team. So it's not that it was just a fluke 2 years. This has been something that's been building. And so just again, with my dad being there. I hear it all the time, you know, your dad this, your dad that. And I've heard more stories about that. That's more, it makes me be more appreciative for my dad, which I'm very appreciative and love him dearly. But another perspective, you know, I'm hearing it from the student's perspective now that they're parents, and I'm hearing it from that side. And dad always gives me advice, and I'm always seeking advice. That's one thing, and the older I get, the more you start to realize that listen more, talk less, and try to gather some of these information. So I'll go talk to Coach Dana, Coach Bobby at Upperman High School, and just soak information up, because as a coach, that's what you need to do. That's going to help you prepare your kids, grow your program in a way that you hope people look at you in another 20, 30 years.
We're talking to Wes Shanks, head baseball coach down at Upperman High School. That's a great point. I mean, a lot of folks in your life that help mold you. And I want to touch real quick on, so you were not in athletics and education for a while. So what were you doing? And somewhere along the way, you figured something was missing there, and you decided to make that track back to education. So what happened there?
Once we moved to University of Tennessee to finish out my career, I was on the agriculture campus, environmental soil science major. And once we got back with that, I came down, which is kind of relative now a little bit, to a downtime in the economy. 2009, I had a hard time getting a job as far as I was supposed to be like a soil scientist, a environmental scientist, and state jobs were at an all-time low. They were getting rid of jobs. So I had 1 year, I had 10 W-9s. and that was, me being a 24, 25-year-old just trying to make ends meet. And so then I got through to a surveying company, and Wittenberg Land Surveying for 10 plus years. Has been a licensed land surveyor for 5 years there, 6 years of it, and grew and really enjoyed it. It was an outdoor job template with meeting a bunch of new people, surveying properties. I'd go all over the Upper Cumberland, even all over the state. Mm-hmm. But it always came back to, you know, when I get done, which ball field am I going to? I was umpiring. I was going to watch nephews. And I always had something in the back of my mind of, I think I can, I want to try this. You know, I don't want to miss out on my life of not trying, one, what my dad did and what others that I saw. Because not only was my dad one of my best mentors, you know, as a coach, me growing up, but again, if I stayed at the gym or the ball field, well, who was there? All the coaches. So I always saw them. They were always present. And so I always had something in the back of my mind that, try this. And after 10 years, the opportunity presented itself, and I've jumped on it.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt. And, you know, you're back in that place of comfort, you know, that really working hard to develop that program, that traditional program that existed for a long period of time. And, you know, now you're starting to get probably some folks that you might have played with or around your age group that are having kids come back in that you're coaching now. And to every coach, that happens at some point along the way. And to me, that's a very exciting thing, because it just creates that opportunity for relationships, which I think as a coach, relationships is the number one factor to getting through to your kids. So that's got to be rewarding for you.
No, absolutely. definitely a small town community. When I graduated at Upperman High School, we had somewhere in the ballpark of 400, 450 students. I think I was one of 72 in my class. You just mentioned, you know, close to 900 at Upperman. I think the freshman class this year was close to 260, 270. It's the same Baxter, but it's different. The community is growing outwardly, which is great, and it's all inwardly towards Upperman High School and Upperman High School athletics, as well as academics. I love our administration. You know, they push athletics so much, but the academic side of it is the root of why we're there, and I couldn't appreciate Mr. Stepp and the admin team that we have down there. But back to the coaches, it makes the community. And that's one thing that I've going into my third year. Of course, I call it it's my third year. I got a redshirt year in there with COVID. We had three ball games my first year, and then I had our first full season last year. It was difficult to get going, and I took a lot of advice from supporters throughout the community, because you got to remember, they've been there their whole lives. They've watched before dad. They watched while dad. They've watched after dad. And, you know, I guess I should say Coach Shanks, but it's something that you want to grasp in and take a hold of. That way you can learn from that. And so I'm now developing my own, visions that where I want to take the program to. And it wouldn't be what it is, though, without the support of Baxter, without the support of Upperman High School, and even Putnam County. We saw the rival game of Baxter at Cookeville this past weekend, and I guarantee you that everybody probably knows one another on both sides of the stadium there. That's really a good thing. I love the fact that we can have those rival games because it gets everybody together and compete in sport. And that's really a fun thing for me. So I'll try to teach that to my kids, my boys on the baseball team, that let's compete at everything and let's have sportsmanship. Let's have fun with it. Let's grow this sport. Let's grow this game. Let's grow our athletics at Upperman High School. And I'm enjoying it right now.
All right, Wes, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Wes Shanks, head baseball coach down at Upperman High School. So picking up where we left off on the conversation, you kind of frame tradition at Upperman High School very well to the basketball team, what's being done at football right now. And, I was in a situation where I'd coached at Cookeville for 12 years, got the opportunity through Jerry Boyd, who was the principal down there at that time, to go down to Upperman and be the football coach. And that's something like you that I always wanted to do. And the thing that I noticed very quickly in getting involved with the faculty and with the school, and Mr. Boyd was the principal for a while there while I was there, and then Herb Lefwich took over after him. And man, I was just real impressed as I walked in from being at Cookeville High School for 12 years, and really enjoyed my time there. Nothing negative at all to say about that. But going from a bigger school to a smaller school, I was able to really put my finger on what that tradition looked like. And I don't think it has anything to do with the size of a school. It's got to do with his past. And I noticed very quickly, football at that time was not where it is right now. And we knew that we had to grow the program. We had to get more kids out. That was the focal point of me being there and trying to increase numbers on the football team and get more kids interested. And worked with Bobby McWilliams. He was always great to work with, as far as kids playing both football, basketball, baseball. I think he was great to work with, and we were able to do that. We were able to increase interest and grow it. But what I really got out of it was kind of an understanding of what tradition is. And we went from a very average football team. By the time I got to my last year, we were pretty good. And a lot of work was involved in that along the way, but the community was so involved with that. We had our supporters that were there through thick and thin, from the beginning that just wanted to be involved, with Upperman High School. And I'm sure you're getting a sense of that now.
Oh, no doubt about it. The community is what drives Baxter. I mean, when I was there, there was no 280 exit. There was no Love's. There was no McDonald's. It was the one little off ramp, and you were into school. Now, because of how Cookeville's grown outwardly, how the interstate has pushed some more industry there, it's really grown. And to touch base more on the tradition side of it, like with Coach McWilliams, Jerry Watson was my baseball coach. He was great. And Miss Dana, the football coaches, we have had a lot of athletes, and we currently have a lot of athletes. Always have. And it's great. It's a great acclimate for our city, our small town there. And one thing about them, they play multiple sports. I mentioned that earlier. I played several sports. It was something I really enjoy. I think as a ball player, when you can play more than one sport, it tells that next level coach that you can be coached by multiple players. It works on multiple facets of your game, your athleticism, your strength, your speed, all those things combined. And so it's great that can happen. We've got that situation right now. I've got, I think, 5 football players. We've got 4 basketball players. And, it's tough to be baseball because we got to wait till season begins in late mid-February. But at the same time, I enjoy going to the Friday night football games, rooting my guys on. I enjoy going to the basketball games, getting them a high five when they get done with the game. And then when they get here, we're all ready to go with baseball because it's that third sport. You've got another motivation there. But back to the players and the athletes, we've had so many all-state athletes. We've had district region MVPs at the football level, the basketball level. You've had several missed basketballs. You've had guys at the all-state level in basketball. And then we've had several all-state caliber players on the baseball. As recent as this past year, we've got our first Upperman baseball alumni to play in the College World Series, Will Mabry at University of Tennessee. He was pitcher of the year years ago, about 3-4 years ago. We've got two players that have played at the major league level. Joe Jones right now came from Upperman High standout. His dad was a previous baseball coach as well at Upperman and player. And he was he's at the affiliate, I guess the Arizona Diamondbacks affiliate in AA. So it's not just those two guys. We've had many collegiate players, and I think that's a little bit alluring to some of the outside community members. One thing that we're doing now from the baseball program is building our batting facility, and we're mimicking it or trying to mimic it on the basketball side. You go into the auxiliary gym, practice gym, and the first thing you notice is there's about 30 to 40 banners hung of collegiate athletes. And that's something special. You know, you can put your name on that, your stamp on that. And that's just something you pride yourself on as a program, getting kids to that next level. And they come from all different levels, from junior college to Division One to now with some professionals. So
a thing that I get a lot, and kudos to you on, you know, everything that you're trying to do there, and you're not trying to go off on your own direction. You're trying to follow the tradition, the things that have happened in the past, honor those traditions, and build your own program. And I know you're going to do a great job by sticking to that. Kids, I hear a lot, you know, boy, kids have really changed these days. Now, I don't believe kids have changed any. I think parents have changed a lot in the expectation at home. And you mentioned it earlier, and I meant to comment on it at that time. But when you were growing up, you know, when you got done playing ball, sometimes you went and worked on the farm a little bit because that was your expectation. We had somebody last week talk about, you know, getting done with a basketball game in Livingston and having to walk 10 miles home. I mean, that happened, you know, and today the expectation for these kids are just a little bit different. And you mentioned a thing a moment ago in social media, and that plays an active role in the lives of these kids. And I think that role can be positive or it can be negative. I mean, you can turn it either way that you want to as a student athlete growing up, and or even a coach that's using that mode of delivery to reach student athletes. So what's your take on social media and how you can use it nowadays?
Well, to hit on your, I think it's got a lot to do with kids and motivation. Not necessarily social media, but the kids change now, you know, to reference back to that. I'm kind of with you a little bit. I think a little of it's changed, you know, growing up in the home life or whatever this, I mean, we didn't have COVID-19 growing up in there and we didn't have the technology that they did either. I can remember I didn't even have a flip phone. I think I got a phone because I got a vehicle. But before that, you had to set a Friday night time during school and you had to beg your parents to take you there, or you met at the ball field somewhere. But the caliber of students are just as eager. You just have to tap into it a little harder. And that's a struggle for teachers. I'm finding that out going into my third year. It's difficult, and not just at the teaching level, at the coaching level. One thing that I think we keep talking about Baxter and Upperman High School is there was the big three: basketball, baseball, football. Well, there's so many other options now, and it's not, you know, travel ball between basketball, baseball, football. Those options are expanded. And so with more expanded options, that gets more kids doing other items, other sports. And so you got to keep that motivation, and that's so tough, so difficult. Yeah. For that motivation at whatever level it is. But one thing I'm seeing a lot of is they enjoy that. I guess it's a notification or gratification. From social media. But what do? I'm sure you've probably got a Facebook account or social media accounts, and I do too. It's just, it's our way of life now. That's how we get information.
Yeah.
And the quickest way to go talk to or get out to our supporters or community, hey, Facebook, let's put our ball game schedule out there. Or social media, so-and-so had this many stats and is doing great. Let's get behind them. Let's support them. Or we got some fundraisers coming up. How can we tap into that? And it's another facet of today's student, today's athlete that you have to take a hold of and harness it. It can be distracting, very much so. But so can anything else in the classroom. So can anything else on the ball field. So coaches may have other areas that they have to, you know, mold students or players. But it's no different, I don't think, than back in the day. It was just different.
Just different.
It was a different mold they had to do back then. You may had to. They couldn't ride. They didn't have to. They had to get a ride somewhere, or you had to take them home. Nowadays, it may be about getting your grades or your social media. I don't know what it could be, but there's different ways that you have to get that motivation to them now.
I'm right there with you. I don't think kids have changed so much. It's just a little bit of the expectation. And there's dealing with different things, you know, than even we were. And I'm a little bit older than you. And you know, it's just different. You know, it's not negative. It's not necessarily positive. It's just different. And mm-hmm. they have to deal with different things in different ways than we did in the past. So there's had to be, you've mentioned a lot of people along the way that have had a positive impact on your life, and now you're coaching. Is there anybody else that you'd like to bring out that's made a difference for you along the way?
You know, I don't give Dad enough credit because he's Dad. You know, I'll talk to him, and it's one of those, we end up talking about, you know, whatever sports are on TV that day, because we go down and we both enjoy. I can remember one of the best couple years of what I felt in my life being a young kid was both my sisters moved off, and I was the only child for about 2 years. And my sisters both would give me a hard time saying, well, my mom just babied me, because I was the last boy, you know, the last egg in the nest. And I can just remember the TV freed up. Me and Dad were sitting there watching baseball, football, and it felt like we had steak and potatoes or chicken wings every night. Just, I mean, bachelor padding it up, and it was amazing. And so we had a good time there. But it comes back to me and him as just, it's just supposed to be Dad and son. But I probably don't, you know, say thank you to, and I love you enough to him. So, you know, I'm sure he'll hear this later on, but it's very, I think highly of him, and wouldn't be here today without him. My mom, she did baby me.
Yeah. Well, you're the baby.
I am the little boy, and she babied me, and love her to death. She has done so much for me, steered me, because you got to imagine Dad was at the ball field all the time. Yeah. And so who was dealing with me? Yeah. or my sisters, everybody. And she ran the household while being a 30-year plus chemistry teacher, coaching multiple sports. So my parents really, really, I mean, they raised me right. And you can see that in a lot of kids and students too. You start to compare kids a little bit, which may not be the best, but you see that how their parents were. And then all of a sudden you see a kid that's theirs and you go, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense. But love mom and my two sisters. You know, they give me a hard time. They're more of the ones that keep me grounded. So I love them too. And as far as grandfather, he passed away at an early age. I was 10. But just with the stories I heard,
yeah.
and grandma, gosh, I mean, she's everybody's idol. I mean, she's what everybody looks up to. And there are others. My ball coaches are, you know, the McWilliams crowd, Coach Watson, and those in the agriculture industry, some previous bosses. That's the road traveled, right? That's the road that steers you or molds you into whoever you are. And those trials and tribulations are the ones that make you who you are and allow you to make certain decisions. And so one thing I have learned, though, I'm not done yet.
That's right.
I'm constantly learning new things. And that's the fun thing, or the enjoyment about a change of professions. I knew I was going to take on a heavy load. I kind of wanted that. And, man, I've got it.
Well, I tell you what, it's truly awesome for you to be continuing that family tradition, especially down at Upperman High School. And I can't wait. You know, your first 2 years have been tough with COVID coming in, and hopefully everything will get back to normal and would give you that opportunity to really take this program, you know, where it needs to be. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today and be with us. So thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks for having me.